It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host, and I owe all of you an apology, all of you mothers, an apology from last Sunday. It was the 25th year that I've done a Mother's Day show, and for the first time ever, I forgot to wish you happy Mother's Day. So for all of you mothers who were listening last week, I hope you had a great Mother's Day, a great Mother's Week, and please forgive me. And for all of you dads, I won't forget us next June, this coming June, for Father's Day. A lot to talk about this morning. I'm going to start off with a discussion of forest fires, forest management, the U.S. Forest Service, and also what private industry is doing is to make our forests a better place. So there's been a lot written in recent years about the need to manage our forests better after really 50, 60, 75 years of neglect of our forests, our public forests, not our private forest land, but our public forest land. So I recently had the opportunity to spend time in Northern California and the Sierras and in Southern Oregon to understand what is taking place in the private sector to manage our forests and how very different it is from what's taking place in the public sector. And what I think I should start off by saying is something I've mentioned many times on the air. A lot of the forest fires that we are seeing now across Canada, the western part of the United States, that are fouling our air, could be averted. At least the scale of them could be averted. And I said at the time of the Pacific Palisades fire earlier this year that we really probably exacerbated this fire or caused it to be, even to begin with, a fire that didn't need to occur. And so what caused the Pacific Palisades fire was that we had not managed the underbrush or the brush for decades in areas around houses and ravines in Southern California. This despite the fact that year after year, forestry managers prescribed burns that were never taking place. Environmental organizations or environmental extremists, if you want to call them that, which a lot of them are, wouldn't let anyone cut a tree, wouldn't let them handle brush. And the result is an absolute inferno. So many of the fires we are seeing, not only in suburban and urban areas, urbanized areas, but across the American West, are largely avoidable. The problem is we have decades of backup of management that did not take place. And so we literally have just tinderboxes waiting to go off in the American West. And that's not going to end anytime soon. It's going to take years if the Forest Service can begin to let professionals come in and manage the forests. And I don't mean the Forest Service are not professionals. They certainly are. But if they can be unleashed to work with the private sector to create fire breaks, to take out dead underbrush, to take out trees that need to be taken out, this is not a question of just harvesting more timber. This is a question of getting, this is a critical issue of getting rid of old timber and dead timber and undergrowth that causes these fires. So this summer, I'm sure at some point we're going to have again these absolutely apocalyptic infernos in the American West. We're going to have terrible air quality. It may once again cloud the skies as it did last year. Sunsets in Chicago were all smoky and tremendous colors and it looked beautiful, but the reality was that's an incredible amount of pollution in the air. And it's caused by the lack of our ability to manage forests. One of the things I learned, I had the privilege of visiting with Sierra Pacific Industries, which is probably, if they are not the foremost private timber company, timber management company in North America, they certainly are right there. I don't know of anyone who's doing more than Sierra Pacific Industries to manage our forests. And I learned during my trip to Northern California that in fact, there are more spotted owls on private forested lands than there are in public lands. Sierra Pacific is very proud, and it should be, of the research it's doing on the spotted owl, on the research it's done on bears and mountain lions and all kinds of species that show that with a properly managed forest, these species are actually going to improve. So I believe I'm correct in saying that per acre, there are far more spotted owls in the private forest lands of Sierra Pacific Industries in California and Oregon than there are on the U.S. Forest Service lands, and that their timber is substantially better managed. And when you have these huge fires, such as the Park Fire last summer, it's largely public lands that burn. Yes, private timberlands burn because they cannot get away from the public lands because there's such an intersect between the two, such a checkerboarding between the two lands. But the real reality is that private lands don't burn the way public lands burn because they're managing their forests. And when private lands do burn, it's often a consequence of being adjacent to national forests, which have not been properly managed. So, but I was struck by the huge amount of energy and resources that Sierra Pacific is putting into managing its forests for wildlife, for endangered species, for critical habitat, to clean up our water. And obviously forest fires not only pollute our air terribly, but they also are terrible for our water quality because fires burn down to the streams. You get huge runoff. Think of some of the fires that we've had across the American West and even up in Canada recently or up in Minnesota. Those scorched lands, when it rains, there's nothing to hold the dirt, and the dirt runs off into the streams, cause siltation. It's forests are the lungs of the world. And if we don't properly manage them, we are going to have dirty air. We're going to have fouled water. We're going to have much reduced wildlife. And yet for half a century or more, the Forest Service has been handcuffed by environmental extreme groups that won't let trees be cut. And when the spotted owl issue hit a number of years ago, 50 years ago or so, when suddenly the spotted owl became known to become endangered, the Forest Service greatly restricted its timber harvest on its lands to, quote unquote, protect the spotted owl. That was actually the worst thing they could have done. The research being done by Sierra Pacific and others is showing that you have to actively manage your forest land. You have to provide open space. You have to provide various age group of tree classes. You have to manage the understory. And when you do that, the spotted owl will actually increase its populations. So the U.S. government took the position, largely because of pressure from environmental groups, not to cut any trees or to dramatically restrict harvest, while the timber companies, the private companies, said, we need to learn more about these species. And as we do, we needed to manage our forests so they can thrive. So companies like Sierra Pacific, which I'm only mentioning them because they are far and away the largest privately held timber company in the American West. In fact, I think maybe even in all of America, over 2 million acres in Northern California and Southern Oregon belong to Sierra Pacific. They are managing their forests for optimal timber production, optimal wildlife management, optimal soil quality, optimal water. Forest Service is sitting here with its hands tied because of all the regulations, and they can't manage their forest for optimal anything. And I don't say that lightly. The Forest Service is absolutely tied up in federal regulations and in efforts by the environmental community to have our national forests essentially be unmanaged national parks. And one of the things that I think is going to happen here very soon is you're going to see within the Forest Service a complete sea change. First of all, wildfires and the death toll and the huge economic loss and the huge pollution is not going to be accepted by American society anymore. The Forest Service knows it has to better manage its forests. The question is, how are they going to do that? And I think with the new director of the Forest Service coming in, as well as the Department of Agriculture, which the Forest Service resides under, you're going to see a sea change. They have decades of work to catch up on. They can't do it overnight. But hopefully, what I learned this past week in Northern California, it really solidified my view that Americans have to wake up to the fact we need to manage our forests. Otherwise, we are going to continue to have these just horrible fires, and it affects all of us. I'll be back in just a moment with much more on the Great Outdoors Show. And when I do, I'm going to talk about what New Mexico and some other states are trying to do. Basically, I call it to weaken the role of people who hunt and fish in wildlife conservation. Other people call it the broadening of the Department of Natural Resources. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN, and now a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go, worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you for being with me this morning. I was just talking about forest fires and the Forest Service and the need for, frankly, America to realize we better really change our approach or we're gonna have decades of horrible fires, not only across the American West, but across Canada. And it's going to foul our water, our air, and set us back greatly in our efforts to have a cleaner environment by not managing our forests. In New Mexico, they've decided to take a new step. And one conceptually you can embrace, it's actually fraught with details that may really weaken the role of the traditional hunting and fishing community. A number of states are trying to figure out how they stop the decline in the number of people hunting and fishing and what that means for their revenues and the long-time models they've had, which basically the Departments of Natural Resources and Conservation have largely been funded on the backs of people who hunt and fish, have been funded by Pittman Robertson funds, which is the sale of excise tax and the sale of firearms, has been funded by Dingell Johnson and other funds, Wallet Bro, which come as a result of to help fisheries. But now New Mexico has canceled, changed the name of the New Mexico Game and Fish Department to the New Mexico Department of Wildlife. And they have changed the mission to any species that has a conservation need. That's a quote. Non-game species, insects, threatened species are now going to be having equal priority of species that provide recreation for New Mexico residents. In doing so, they are increasing the license fees on people who hunt and fish, and they're also bringing in general revenue to try to fill what is a deficit in their budget for protecting the natural resources of New Mexico. In Illinois, you may know, we call it the Department of Natural Resources. It used to be called the Department of Conservation. Oregon's had a big push to do so. So why do I think that this is worth paying some attention to? I think the reality is we know we're going to have fewer people hunting and fishing as a percentage of the population. And we also recognize that in some states, not all states, the sheer numbers of people hunting and fishing is going to decline. Certainly there are areas of the country right now which are under considerable pressure because there are actually more people hunting or hunting more often than they used to, or there are more people fishing or fishing more often than they used to, even though it's a decreasing percentage of the population. The American West is facing this. Florida is absolutely facing it with the number of people that have moved to Florida and the demands on the fisheries resource in Florida, also the hunting resource in Florida. Florida does not have the kind of public lands the America West has. So certain areas of the country are seeing a lot more people and a lot more pressure. But those areas that are not seeing increases in their revenue stream from people who hunt and fish are now looking to broaden their mission so that more people pay the bill. And I think it's great that more people pay the bill, but I also think it's wrong to suggest that people who hunt and fish are not the champions of wildlife and fisheries conservation. All wildlife species benefit as a result of people who hunt. The management that goes into managing for elk or deer or turkey or waterfowl or quail or pheasants is benefiting all forms of wildlife. If we start changing departments with focus on butterflies and insects and endangered species, we are going to quickly find that the game species, which have historically had great interest and benefit all wildlife, are actually going to take a back seat. And when they do, they are going to decline. And when game species decline, all wildlife species decline. So to diminish the role of people who hunt and fish, it may be natural or seem natural because the population is moving away from people who hunt and fish, but they still form the core of wildlife management and fisheries management in North America or in America. And there is no interest like self-interest. And so anglers and hunters across sportsmen and women across America are slowly, and in some cases quickly, like in New Mexico, being pushed aside or being put into the back seat to try to further general species management and to try to bring the total population into funding these things. I don't know that there's a proven model yet for how that's going to work. One model that's long been suggested, when you visit a national wildlife refuge, you should have to buy a duck stamp. Everyone who hunts ducks or waterfowl has to buy a duck stamp. And yet millions of people visit our national wildlife refuges to watch birds, and they don't have to buy a duck stamp. If they did, then we would have a lot better managed national wildlife refuges, and chances are we would have a lot more waterfowl, and we would, as a result, have many more wetland-dependent birds. So it's been the backs of hunters, in the case of the duck stamp, that have been funding a big part of our national wildlife refuge, not only management, but also the acquisition program. And tens of millions of people in America visit our national wildlife refuges and basically get a free ride. I, among others, have long advocated, if you visit our national wildlife refuges, you need to pay a duck stamp, buy a duck stamp to do so. So we will see. We will see in the coming years what happens. But right now, in New Mexico, we're absolutely seeing that there is a move away from traditional hunting and fishing, license sales, and dependency to fund game and fish departments, and moving towards more of a general revenue fund, which might be great, but it's going to weaken the ability of people who hunt and fish to frankly have a seat at the table. Last thought as I sign off, we better hope it rains and rains quickly on the prairies of Canada and the northern United States. I'll have more on that next week. We are again looking at pretty dry breeding conditions. Thanks so much for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.